Hey everybody, this is Mike Murphy, news director for GamerNode.com, and I am here with the Guild Star, who plays Zabu, and the creator of The Legend of Neil, Sandeep Parikh. How you doing?
I'm well, thanks for having me.
Okay, so my first question is, we just found out this week, I believe, that the Guild got renewed for a fifth season by Microsoft.
Yes, very
soon. Now, when you first started, when Felicia Day first, like, contacted you to do the Guild, like, however long ago it was, I can't remember off the top of my head.
2007.
There we go. Did you ever really think that this was going to take off, or at least hope that this was going to take off and become as big as it was?
I think you always have hope. I think whenever you start any new project, there's always, you know, there's part of you in the back of your mind, or maybe even the forefront of your mind, that's like, yeah, let's hopefully this thing completely blows up. Did I expect it? Absolutely not. I mean, I read the script and I thought it was really good, and I know Felicia's talented. She never really created a show before. She'd acted in a few of the little things that I did, you know, and I know that she's a go-getter and a hard worker and supremely talented actress. I don't think she knew, really. I mean, that it would ever really catch this much fire. You know, a lot of things had to go right, and they started by casting brilliantly. Man, the Indian guy is a genius in that show. No, but she did a really, I mean, honestly, they did a really good job with casting. And Felicia, myself, and Jeff, who plays Vork, we did a lot of improv together beforehand. And so she wrote those roles for us. Everybody else in the show was, in the main cast, was auditioned. And subsequently, you know, they earned their roles, whereas we cheated our way in. So, I think they did a really great job putting together a very likable cast that really fit very distinct characters, and they struck a nerve with people that you know, play online role playing games or nerds in general, and people that love all of nerddom. I think just really. Anybody who sort of felt outcast because they were, you know, playing D&D or loved fantasy or whatever, I think really responds to this show. And I understand it because I'm one of those people, you know. I didn't play a ton of D&D, but, you know, I played a lot of Zelda and I played, you know, I role played with my friends, you know, at Indian Temple and you know, we played. It's sort of like reenacting the games of HeroQuest that we'd play and being just total dorks and loving every moment of that and wishing that I actually did have magic wizard powers or could transform into a dragon. And so that part of me absolutely adored the script and really hoped that it was going to be something special. But I didn't know that there was so many of us out there, I guess. Uh-huh. You could. And I think that the show just like was like, hey, this is about me. I think a lot of people felt like that. Like, this mm-hmm. show is really about me and my friends, and I can identify. They felt the authenticity of Felicia, you know, because she mm-hmm. is a gamer. She's a true, true, true gamer. There's nothing false about her persona. So.
I know that, personally, when I first watched it, struck a chord with me, because when I was in high school, I had I was in a guild and a clan with one of the online games I played, and almost every single character that was in there was an archetype of somebody that I actually knew in that
right.
guild. So it was just...
Well, that hurts, man. That hurts to hear that you were in high school playing online games, because when I was in high school, that didn't even exist, which makes me old. But, I think EverQuest was just coming out. It was like the first, and like I couldn't afford it at the time, and so I was like, I don't know. You know, I came from like, you know, playing Ultima, what else did I play? Just all those really early, like I played like text-based fantasy games.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking like adventure was like, you know, I mean, I played that kind of stuff.
Like the old BioWare games?
Yeah, well, my brother he's like my older brother, and he's 10 years older than me, and he bought an Apple IIc, and he'd program all these, like, you know, you wake up hungover on the deck of a ship, you know, you have nothing but a knife in your, you know, in your pocket, and three gold pieces. You know, what do? You know, move north, move, you know, check inventory, search. You know, so I played all those games that my brother would create, and I love that stuff.
you said in the panel earlier that there was a certain point where you felt like that The Legend of Neil was really going to be something special. Did you have a point in shooting the guild where that finally hit you? Was it like after the first season, or was it during the first season when you were interacting with the rest of the cast?
Man, I mean, I think I shot the first day that they actually shot anything for the guild. It was me and Felicia at her apartment. I think it was the poop scene, the scene where I came in and, you know, first knocked on her door and then came in and had to go to the bathroom and was rubbing her face. And I remember, it was just, I remember those moments like very fondly, where it was, you know, just her and I kind of feeling out our characters for the first time, and being, you know, be like, Felicia, I'm gonna touch your face in this take. I'm gonna grab your face as soon as I say I have to poop. And I think it's going to be gross and weird and funny and hopeful. And she's like, yeah, do it. Grab my face. Do whatever you want. And so it was just like, we were just kind of feeling each other out, too, as sort of, you know, two of the lead actors of this show, and testing each other's boundaries. And once she kind of said, you know, once she was like, yeah, do it. Grab my face. I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. You know, I knew that from that moment that I was going to have a lot of fun doing the show. So I guess I kind of felt the magic there. I still didn't know at the time, you know. I really just didn't know that it was going to really take off like it has, where I get to fly to conventions and, you know, and get everything paid. You know, these are conventions that I would normally have just gone to and paid for. Now people pay me to go to them. I mean, it's just so crazy. It's just it's a really weird, awesome thing, you know, and I think it's really a testament to what a great job that Felicia's done making her show. Felicia and Kim, our producer, I gotta give her a big, big shout out. I mean, honestly, Kim and Sean Becker, our director, I mean, those guys, they work so hard. It's really for meager, not much money. They work really hard for the love of the game, for the passion of the show, and yeah.
And Sean,
it feels like we're all in it together, even with the fans, you know, it's really great.
And Sean won the 2010 Slammy for Best Director, or Streamy for...
Jerk, he beat me. unjust, very unjust. You know, being an actor in the show, I know that I'm a better director than Sean. no, Sean's brilliant, man. Sean has a gift of likability. You know, he gets you on your side so immediately. If you meet Sean, he's going to immediately become your friend. He's just one of those guys that, like, oh, I love this dude. He's just super friendly, and then, so that's on the immediate surface. You just immediately become friends with him, and then you realize very quickly that he's also hilarious and also extremely talented. And to be a great director, you have to have tremendous vision. You have to really be able to live in the moment that you're directing, like this specific scene, this specific take, this specific line with these actors. But you also have to have the big picture in your head the entire time. You have to know where this. You've got to be able to memorize the jigsaw puzzle and know where this specific piece is going to fit and
know
how it's
gonna
fit.
Going.
And that's not a lot of people have that talent. And Sean's definitely one of those people that does.
Do you have any particular favorite stories from shooting the guild that you have that might have been funny from, like, maybe shooting some outtakes or anything like that?
Yeah, you know, let's see. There's a bunch, but we were shooting the mustard scene, the scene where I was, like, lifting mustard with my shirt off and oiled up. The funny thing about that was... besides just being not having the bodybuilder's body to have to then take off my clothes and to show myself off, which was interesting. But it was just like, we used actual Pam for the spray. And I had to explain, you know, the production designer at the time, Leah, who is awesome. She also production designed the first two seasons of Legend Neal. It's just funny because I was like, hey, Leah, did this have to actually be Pam? Like, couldn't it have been just, like, water? And she's like, yeah, I guess just in the list of things that I had to get, it said Pam, and I got Pam. Because, I mean, look, when you're production designing, there's a million things you're thinking of. And so when you have a list, you just get what's on the list for the most part. And then the mustard was actually filled with mustard. So we're doing the scene. I'm slicked up with Pam doing the scene, improvising, lifting mustard. And by the way, not, I'm not saying it was heavy, but, you know, it's giant things of mustard, yeah. And your hands are covered in actual grease. So they slipped out of my hands during one of the takes. This mustard went everywhere. It was a total disaster. And, like, Jeff, you know, he's just like, man, I knew that was going to happen. You know, it just was this, like, big disastrous moment. But it was kind of, in retrospect, even though at the time we were like, oh, God, we're going to lose all this time. But in retrospect, it was just kind of hilarious. I'm like, why was there actual mustard? But it was just some, you know, we, anytime that Jeff and I get in a room and get to, like, improvise and just, goof around and play with the takes. I mean, there's a lot of funny stuff, and you end up seeing those in the gag reels, which is cool. Yeah, I don't know. If more comes to me, I'll let you know.
Okay. Is there anything of interest that you would like to maybe talk about your co-stars in the guild? Like, how well do you guys get along?
We've all slept together. Everybody's slept with every pairing has slept with each other.
Glad that's out of the
yeah. So let's just like now. Let's get that out of the way. God, when Vince and I hooked up, it was really moving. Now
I can imagine that'd be very.
That's
steamy.
Horrible because I think he's under 18. So let's just erase this. No, but it is such, you know, in a lot of ways it's everybody gets along so well. I mean, I think that's, you know, when we talked about like when you discovered the magic. I think another part of that discovery was when we first did our like. The scene where we're all together for the first time was at Cheesy Beards, and we were all sitting around the table, and it was during, like, you know, Jeff was doing his cheese gouging monologue, and I had to go get a quest to get her sweater, and I came up from under the table, and just like the rapport between the six of us was really great, and it was the first time I, you know, physically we interacted with each other. Previously that, everybody just kind of shot their scenes in front of their camera, so or in front of their computer screen. So I hadn't even really met Robin or Amy, and now they've become such good friends. I mean, it's really awesome. You know, Robin and Amy and I, whenever we go to conventions or we hang out a lot, outside, we all hang out a lot. It's pretty great. And, you know, Jeff and Felicia and I were all friends before, so that was easy. But yeah, now we're all pretty tight. It's cool.
It's good. As a character, Zabu starts off as an extremely awkward, creepy, stalkerish kind of guy.
Yeah.
but throughout the course of the show, he's kind of evolved. He's at least trying to get better, even though some of his kind of creepy stalker notions will come back in.
Right.
How do you feel about his evolution going from, you know, showing up on Codex's door with blue flowers and, you know, caressing her face, like you said before, to, like, actually legitimately how weird and in his own way it is, trying to really be her friend and trying to, you know, reconcile things with his mother. Like, how do you feel about how he's become?
I really love the character because he does, you know, maybe more than anyone in that show, gets tremendous amount of growth. There's just, every season she gives him a new, Felicia gives him a new sort of path, a new journey, and it's been impressive to me that she's able to kind of do it in an original, fresh way every season, and I love it. It's such a challenge, you know. Like, you know, season two is all about sort of becoming a man and fighting the cool stunt guy, and you know, yeah, season four was all about him becoming her BFF, and it's really fun to be able to, you know, it keeps it fresh, it keeps it from getting old and playing the same beat over and over again, and finding new ways to inject, because, like, you know, a lot of playing a character over the course of many seasons, a lot of that is sort of having an established toolkit of your sort of your weapons, right? Like, he always adds apostrophe D at the end of words, and he always, you know, invades personal space, and he always, you know, he has these things that are just very uniquely Zabu, but they, and you have to keep doing those because that's what the audience loves to see. I mean, that's what your character does, but you want to keep doing them in fresh ways, and the only way to do that is to provide, you know, more interesting storylines for him to sort of deal with and to grow into, and to be able to do that is is awesome. I don't know if I added anything new to what you said, but it's a pleasure playing that role, yeah.
So good. Felicia just announced her project Dragon Age Redemption. Uh-huh. Like a couple days ago, the trailer aired on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. This is kind of a new thing for like a new kind of marriage between game studios and new media people like yourself and Felicia. Like, how do you feel about this project coming into being and the potential future that it could bring? And if you ever was given the opportunity to do something similar in the future, would you take a studio up on that offer?
Yeah, if it responded to me, absolutely. I mean, I love video games, and I love... I am so psyched for Felicia. I think she's blazing a trail. You know, she's truly blazing a unique trail for... As you said, I mean, this is the first time a studio like this has ever joined up with a web series creator and, went this route. I have to be careful about what I can say and what I can't say. Uh-huh. I don't want to give anything away or get in trouble with my agents. But I know that immediately after this project kind of went public, my agent was already on my horn about being like, hey, you know, let's get these opportunities going for you. I would love to. I mean, you know, Legend of Neil was kind of a similar thing. I mean, it wasn't with the studio itself. That's the big difference. Mm-hmm. It wasn't with Nintendo. But it's so great. I get to visited the set, and it's incredible. It's kind of cool because like some of the Legend of Neil props were like in the background of the set.
Nice.
Because the same production designer Greg Aronowitz for season 3 of the Legend of Neil did, and he's supremely talented and is good at reutilizing objects. And so like I'd see like a dungeon wall and stuff like that. It was pretty neat. And their sets were absolutely. I mean they definitely had more in the coffers to create that show, which it as a drama you kind of need that.
Yeah.
I think you can't in a comedy you can get away with the sort of the goofier props and stuff like that like we had in Legend of Neil. In a drama it's got to all feel real, otherwise it pulls you out of the story.
Exactly.
So from what I briefly saw, I was wowed and blown away and was like, got that same sense that Felicia's going to, once again, hit a gold mine.
That's good. It's good to hear.
Yeah, I'm really excited for her, and I hope the project is as amazing as it seems. I have no reason to doubt her at this point. She's come up with nothing but gold so far.
I know you mentioned you told the story in the panel, but if you could perhaps tell the story again about how you came up with the idea for Legend of Neil and that whole thing.
I was a little tipsy. I was a little tipsy. Maybe even drunk when I came up with the idea. It was basically my roommate got a care package from his family that contained the old NES and the original gold cartridge of Zelda, and it was as soon as I saw that, I was like, we have to play it. This is like after a night out of, consuming alcoholic beverages. And so he claimed he could beat the game in an hour. I called bullshit. Can I say bullshit?
Sure. Yeah, you can.
I said it twice. I claimed he could beat the game in an hour, and I didn't believe him. He started playing the game, and as I was watching him play it and really rip through it, I think he beat the game in like an hour, in about an hour. I just kind of was like, "What? Who is this old man giving you?" Like, there's no real frame of reference in the game. You know, there's no opening scene, cutscene that sort of explains why Link is there. I mean, they just kind of throw you in, and you just like wandering around. You go into a cave and get in. Shitty wooden sword from an old man, and just like I just started imagining that dialogue if I was in there, or if someone who is a little bit more cynical was in that situation, being like, why do I have a plank from a wooden picket fence to go fight like live evil creatures that shoot
rocks at you,
rocks from their faces, So that to me was like interesting dialogue. It was like, oh well, let's sort of there's so much in the gaming conventions of that game that you can kind of make fun of and have a good time with. And, you know, like being like the moments that he's frozen, walking in place from screen to screen. You know, and I was like, oh, that'd be so funny to see visually. And so I just wrote that script. I wrote the first episode that night, and then in the morning when I was hungover, it was still funny and still made sense. So I decided, hey, let's shoot this thing. And Tony Janning is someone I also did improv with, you know, in that same crew, Felicia and Jeff, and he's a really funny dude, and I knew he could play a douchebag asshole really well, and he was the first guy I went to, and he responded to the material and of course wanted to do it, and we both chipped in like a few $100 and shot it ourselves, and yeah, that's how it happened.
You mentioned some of your earlier experiences with video games and everything. What exactly, if you're playing anything right now in your free time, what exactly are you playing? What are some of your favorite games?
I just beat God of War 3. I like, you know, I'm not a huge MMORPG player, and I think I would have been if that stuff was really like prevalent in high school, and I think that would have been bad. Like, I'm really glad I didn't get that bug, because, like, it's so addicting. I played World of Warcraft for a little while. Like, I leveled two characters up to, like, 40, 50, and was just like, dude, no, I can't. No, no.
Too much.
Like, this is... And then I think that it's about the time that they were coming out with, not Cataclysm, but the...
Wrath of the Lich King?
Yeah, Lich King. And I was like, oh, dude, they're just going to expand this shit forever. I mean, it's just this
and
game...
And never going
to
get out.
And I was like, I better find a way to pull the plug now or I'm doomed. So, yeah. Got away from it and was like, yeah, I need to go back to my Prince of Persias and God of Wars and games that have a beginning, middle, and end. And like, that's... So, that's what I'm playing now. I haven't played Dragon Age yet. I got it and I'm going to play it. I was playing Overlord, which is a really fun game. Have you ever played that game?
No,
it's pretty awesome.
Right.
It's from the perspective of a guy who's like the great evil one, and he was just defeated, and so he has to like rebuild his evil kingdom, and he's got all these minions, and so that's who you play.
That's cool.
And it's fun. It's like a really funny game. You kind of go around and like have to decide whether or not you want to kill villagers because you want to be evil, but at the same time you want to like. You want
to be able to
subjects
rule over people.
To control, so you can't be too evil. But like, you know, and like you go around killing sheep and stuff, and like beautiful little cute sheep to get like, to gain orbs that help you create your little devilish minion creatures and stuff. So it's a funny game. So I'm about towards the end of that game. But yeah, I like to play a lot of games on my Xbox. You know, and then like the huge the rock bands the. Stuff like that. So.
Now that Legend of Neil is finally over, the awards season is over for it and everything, and you can finally sit back and take a look on the series, what are some of your like closing and final thoughts on it as a whole about how the whole project came together and blew up and then you finally finish it up with the trilogy?
I have a tremendous amount of... what's the word I'm looking for? Thanks. I just feel so lucky to have been able to create that show, and to have the amount of people that pitched into that show is just so great, and the amount of energy and effort that they put in for very, very little pay or, you know. We just couldn't offer much. It was a web series budget. It was a very low budget. In terms of web series, it's a high budget, but in terms of creating an entire fantasy universe,
yeah.
Special effects and original score and sound design and practical effects and you know, costumes and the makeup. I mean, just everybody really, from top to bottom, pitched in so much, and so I just... When I look back on that, I just think of the amount of sheer just collaboration and will that it took from a tremendous amount of talented people that are just too long to list right now. But I don't know. It's just like I feel pride, and then I feel like just we accomplished a great task. And I think that finale is really something special to me. And we had a night where we premiered that finale. in front of 250 or so people at a theater downtown LA, and people flew in. Like fans, we released like 40 seats to fans, and people flew in from like Oregon, Oregon, and Toronto, and Philly, and it was just like, it was awesome. Like, it was just such a great experience. Like, all my agents were there, and my family was there, and then, you know, my extended family, all these people that I've been working with for the past 3 years, and so it was such a great experience, so great that it kind of put me in total postpartum depression when it was done. Like, I had like 2 months of just like, I mean, you go from like 20-hour days, you know, where just like jumping from editing session to sound mix to scoring session to like color. It was like literally we were pushing so hard on all cylinders to try to get that show to be as awesome as it could be and to get it in on time. To go from that to like, you know, to drop like from done, you know, at that point you're just done. And I was just like, oh, what do I do in my life? And you know, so that was like a tough 2 months. November and December were like a tough 2 months for me.
Yeah,
because I was just like, it felt like a piece of me was done, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was awesome, just awesome. So.
And you also mentioned this. You didn't really go into detail because you said you couldn't in the panel. Do you have like any new projects that you're currently working on or that you're planning to work on? And is there what exactly can fans expect from you in the near future?
So I have a couple projects that are gaining momentum now. One of them is a pilot that I'm writing for Comedy Central. That's probably months away from being finished, even in its written form. But that came out of the success of Legend of Neil and being able to sort of produce 3 seasons got me a blind script deal with Comedy Central, and that was very awesome and exciting, and I felt like sort of pretty cool to be on the forefront of folks who are going from digital to, or just playing in that digital to traditional space, and you know, who knows whether or not television will even really exist separately from the internet. I don't think it will soon. I think those mediums are kind of collapsing on themselves, you know. So it's cool. It's really just awesome to be like riding on the front of that wave. And so that's one project that I have going. I've got a couple other digital projects that I'm pushing right now. I guess you can expect more of, as I said in the panel, that project is not specifically video game related. It is sort of like a show.
Uh-huh.
But look, I'm in a lot of ways I'm a gamer, I'm a nerd, and I will draw from what I know. And so I expect that you'll see more of that, more
those kinds of references.
Referencing to everything from superheroes to cheesy 80s movies and more dragons. If I can get more dragons in the world, I'll be happy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Cindy, thank you so much for letting me pick your brain for like about a good part of a half an hour about.
No sweat, man.
Thank you.